And now, the conclusion of the XXXY Files here on 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook, Radio Free Long Island.
Part 5. Agent Skulky here. My partner just fainted having realized that the woman in his bed this morning was a man last night. Apparently, Alex isn't the only one that this thing has happened to. Since my partner can't give me any answers, I've decided to wake Sleeping Beauty.
"Good morning. I'm Agent Skulky of the Manitoba Investigative Bureau," I whispered. "What's your name?"
At which point she sat bolt upright and sputtered,
I'm Simon. What's an MIB agent doing in this bedroom? Has J. Edgar Hoover come back from the dead?
No. This is the hotel room of my partner, Detective Mildewer. He's the guy passed out on the floor. Do you recognize him?
Sure I do. He picked me up at the queer costume bar last night. He was dressed as a Swiss milkmaid with a great big bosom the size of mine! Oh my God!
I'll explain that momentarily. Do you remember what happened last night?
Sure I do. Your partner told me he knew of an udder that needed milking and took me back here. Then he asked me if I'd ever consider wearing diapers during a sexual encounter, to which I said, depends. And he said, I don't think they have that brand this far north.
Not your one-night stand, you ninny. What happened during the night that swapped your gender?
I do remember, but I thought it was a dream. I fell asleep on his shoulder, and I awoke in some kind of flying saucer with these Martians, and I swore that I'd never mix ecstasy and Special K again. Then I fell asleep on this examination table, and the next thing I knew, little Simon was Simone. Go figure. Soon after that, I'm on an alien talk show with this host named Jarber, who secretly wears an alien costume and apparently has alien's food.
Alex and I explained that her dream was really what happened.
It'll be good for my career. I have a drag act as Carmen Miranda at the Rainbow Lounge. It's the local dive that held the costume bar last night. The place really packs them in lately.
Alex and I looked at each other and said, Aha! We all carried Mildewer to Alex's car, and the four of us took off. Popular night spot. When Fux finally came to, I explained that we were on our way to the club that he went to the night before. Upon hearing this, he tried to commit suicide by jumping out while we were speeding down the highway. However, I stopped him, which I'll probably live to regret. I told him that Simone explained everything, and that I didn't think any less of him. Come to think of it, how could I? I didn't think much of him to begin with. Anyway, Alex asked Simone to find a cassette to play to cheer up Mildewer. We soon found a tape of a Dr. Demento radio program, and Simone gushed how much she adored his flair for novelty records. Alex and Simone started to bond, and I started getting jealous for reasons I can't begin to understand. Alex popped the tape in, and the fun began. When we learned that the program was songs dedicated to zoophilia / bestiality, I knew that the evil intern was afoot. The first song was a tribute to a pseudo-rap song about Bigfoot, which had a sample of Patti LaBelle and the Weather Girls that went something like this.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
Sasquatch!
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
Sasquatch!
I love your hairy body. To me, you're a real Canadian hottie.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
Sasquatch!
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
Sasquatch!
You are such a cutie. I've become a real gorilla groupie.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
Sasquatch!
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
Sasquatch!
I really gotta meet ya. Don't you know what they say about big feet, ya?
Next was a parody of Chumbawamba's Tub Thumping song, which was named Cat Humping and went like so.
I get knocked up, but I go down again. Always will end on my knees. I get screwed up, but I put out again. Always will end on my knees.
Hissing the night away. Hissing the night away.
She drank some heavy cream, she drank some light cream. She drank some half and half, she drank some camembert. She throws up all over the sofa, then gets thrown out the door by her owner.
But all too soon, it was time for the Funny Five, and the most requested song of the week was a parody of the Love Boat theme.
Love, enticing and rude, come aboard, we'll expectorate you. And love, I'm stiff as a board, let us go. I really need a good screw. The Love Boat soon will be making another run. The Love Boat promises nookie for everyone. Set a course for my censure as I get into your pants. And love won't hurt anymore. It is KY gel on an open sore. It's love. Welcome aboard. It's love, love, love.
The song was so beautiful, I nearly wept. But before I knew it, we were at the Rainbow Lounge talking to the owner, Roy G. Biv. He was very friendly. Even before Simone explained who she was, it was then that Roy disclosed that he was abducted as well and used to be a preoperative transsexual woman until the aliens made his dreams come true, not to mention dissolve a sham marriage.
Hey, wanna hear a joke? What's the best thing a man can use during sex to please his partner?
I give up.
I'll give you a hint. Located between the ears.
His brain?
What brain? I'm talking about a ball gag.
Everybody laughed but Fox. Roy showed us around his stunning nightclub. You would never guess from the interior that the place was a converted barn connected to a Thai restaurant. Mildewer and I explained who we were and why we were there. Roy offered his club as a meeting place for all the other alien abductees.
After all, they're half my customers.
Soon we were on our way to getting to the bottom of this. Finally! By talking with each of the abductees, Mildewer and I plotted where each abduction took place and figured out where the next abduction was likely to take place. We set up an ambush by posing as a couple. However, my partner was having a freak out about the whole thing.
I don't know if this plan will work, Skulky. What if the aliens do a gender swap on me?
Your IQ will increase about 100 points, but you'll get used to it, trust me.
I'm serious! You sure this plan will work? I've got a bad feeling about this!
Look, if it'll make you more comfortable, wear your milkmaid costume and we'll pose as a lesbian couple. I wish I hadn't said that, for the next thing I knew...
How do I look, Skulky?
Absolutely ridiculous. Simon was either drunk or desperate.
Good. When I pretend to make a move on you, you'll be so mortified you'll pay me hush money.
I was relieved when the aliens finally picked us up. Later, when I woke up in Fop's class for the second time, he excused me for teaching his class, and dismissed most of his students to talk to me in private. He confided in me that there was something strange going on, but he couldn't put his tentacle on it.
I explained our theory that Jabba was a fraud bent on causing chaos, because taking over the town of Igloolik will be a breeze, with every couple's life in turmoil from Jabba's henchmen's dirty work. Fop agreed to help us. First, Fop saved Fux from getting gender swapped. Then Fop got his two favorite students to escort us to Jabba's talk show studio. While we were off stage, we saw technicians were using cloaking devices to make an Earthling simulcast of the prior show. We spotted the talk show host in the monitor and recognized her instantly. When it was our turn to be guests, Jabba asked us irritating questions that showed the creature's appalling ignorance.
So, do you two gals feel disgusting and dirty now that you're a straight couple? What do you think your friends will say when they find out you're a bunch of breeders?
Ooh, one could just imagine what she probably said to those other abductees. I got so mad, I couldn't take it anymore. I got out of my seat and punched Jabba in the nose in a way that would make Jerry Springer proud. While Jabba was stunned, I strangled the creature with a cord from the microphone. Carrie Fisher, eat your heart out. I ripped the mask off and revealed Jabba to be Icky Fake, a B-movie actress with a talk show in the U.S. I explained to the aliens of the audience that Ms. Fake's evil plan was to enslave our planet and give the entire universe awful TV programming. With her dying breath, Icky Fake grabbed the mic and admitted,
"She's right, folks. I had it all planned out. And it would have worked, too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids. Help me. I'm melting. What a world. What a world."
A terrible actress until the end.